crop heavy, so I had to get stuff ready. And I'm still not ready. All right. How are you doing? Me too. Kind of. All right. Can I have someone give one of these to each person as well? Whoops. I'm going to make a mess. There you go. Just write down on these strips, write something that tempts you. Tempts you. Chocolate, shoes, shopping. And if you need the back, you can fill in the back too. But just one thing that tempts you, okay? All right. And then we'll collect those in a minute. Don't put your names on them. I'm Steve Alley. There. Thank you. Hi. So you're probably a mixture of children's ministry, church-type people, and release time people, right? Okay, good. So I've created something I think is useful to everybody. So let's pray. I'll catch my breath and we'll start. Thank you, Father, for the challenge of teaching and leading children to you. Lord, thank you that you are the creator, and we praise you for who you are, and we ask that you would bless this workshop in Jesus' name. Amen. Speaking of creative, how many of you are creative? Raise your hand if you think you're creative. Four. Five. Delayed reaction. The rest of you, I can guarantee you that when I ask that question, you might have said yes, but then right away you went, but I'm afraid of making a fool of myself. I'm afraid of being wrong. I'm afraid that it might not work, right? Now, those of you who raise your hands go, yeah, who cares about all that? So I want to remind you real quickly, who is inside of you? The creator of the universe. Very good. He created flowers that open up and follow the sun. He created monarch butterflies that migrate 25 or so hundred miles. He created whales that migrate thousands of miles. He created the Zika virus. I don't know why, but he did. So if that creator is inside you, then why aren't you creative? So I'm going to challenge you with this thought. If you are creative, people can't critique you. I'm going to show you some things here today that probably you've never seen before. Some of them may not work, but you won't ever know because you've never seen them before, right? So I tell my students at the college, if you're afraid of creativity, you don't want to step into that, because what happens if it doesn't work? What happens? All these what happens? You are limiting the creator. He gives you all kinds of ideas, but you stop them because you're afraid of things. So I'm saying to you, go boldly into that creative zone, because they don't know what you're doing. And no one can critique you. And it can't ever go wrong. It can just go different. So I'm going to show you some things that might go wrong. I have all kinds of backup ideas to deal with if these things go wrong. But you will never know that. Because you think, oh man, how creative is he? And inside my head I'm going, this is a mess. This isn't working. But who cares? You don't know. So this workshop is all about encouraging you to season your lessons. What you have been given by release time or a general curriculum is white rice. Now, some of you may love white rice. Ooh, I love sticky rice. A bowl of white rice is all that I would love. I can't stand white rice by itself. I've got to put some butter on it. I have to put some sauce on it. I have to mix it with something, right? How many of you love just white rice by itself? Oh, you are so weird. No, but I know that that's fine. I shouldn't have said that, but that's okay. But generally, okay, so we have four of you that love white rice, but the rest of you would like to add something to it. Remember Emeril? Does he still do the cooking show, Emeril? The BAM, yes, exactly. He's talking about, okay, here's this plate, here's this recipe, but you need to add a little BAM, and he does it with pepper or something, right? Some kind of seasoning. This workshop is about the BAM of your lesson. So what the Lord has given you in the curriculum might be good, and you might could just, you know, lay it out for the kids. But I'm saying let the Creator help you with a little BAM, all right? The kids walk into your classroom, and they walk in either they want to or they don't want to. And I think that's true whether it's release time or church. Either someone is forcing them. Now, you may get some kids who really want to be there. That's really nice. But generally, they are walking in because they either have to or maybe they want to, but they're still not sure. Your environment should attract them to the lesson. Does your environment visually show them what's going on, and does it visually entice them? Are you doing something that entices them into the lesson? Do they look forward to leaving your class, or do they have trouble leaving? Here's a great test. When it's all over, do they want to stay? Generally, that's a great test. If you say, okay, we're done, and they go, oh, no, please, of course, with release time, they're thinking about going back into the other rooms, right? Maybe that's the reason they don't want to leave. But wouldn't it be great if we created an environment that they don't want to leave because there's something good there? So I'm going to help you with adding some stuff to your lessons. All right, so in the handout, did you all get a handout? Anybody not have one? Oh, can you share? Is there anyone that can share with someone from the same church or whatever? Raise your hand if you don't have one. Oh, look at these nice people. God bless you. Anyone in the back? Oh, good. Thank you. Yeah, if they could just have one between them. Thank you. And then we can copy more. I have more of these from the first workshop as well. If you want some, I'll put them in the back, and we'll get some more copies from here. All right, so I'm not going to put everything on the screen. I've loaded your handouts with a lot of great stuff. So first, we're talking about building. So in the theme of building, I went on to some building codes. How many of you have ever built something or refurbished a home or something? A couple of you? Yeah, I see the pain and the groans and the faces, right? So you know about building codes. You know about expectations. So I thought, well, let's just play with this a little bit. Let's talk about what expectations the kids and maybe the parents have when they come into your room. Just as contractors, this is understand the building codes, just as contractors have to understand and abide by the building codes imposed by the city and county governments, you have to understand the building codes, in quotes, that exist as you build a lesson. These building codes are expectations and standards that exist among the children, their parents, and those who teach in the children's ministry. To disregard these codes will result in a failed lesson, which may need to be either torn down and rebuilt. Yikes. Building codes the children's create. So here are some building codes that the children's create. When they come into your room, they have this in their mind. I want it to be interesting. I want it to be something that's not boring. I talked about in the other lesson about peanuts and the way Charles Schulz interpreted adults, the wah, wah, wah. They don't want to come into your room and just have you boring lecture. Yes, let's read Deuteronomy 30, the whole chapter. We're going to memorize it. Hopefully we get done, and that's it. It's great. Scripture is great, but that's not what the kids want. They want you to do something with Deuteronomy 30, all right? So has to be interesting. You want the kids to say, I've never done that before, or that was so fun, I couldn't believe what we did, all right? So just memorizing Scripture is not going to get that kind of attention. Okay, we have to make sure that the lesson time is interesting. We need to remember what they like, what they want, or what interests them. We need to pump as many visual sounds or new experiences into the lesson as possible. So that's where that BAM idea comes. So I'm going to show you some of the things that we can do. It has to be interactive. Kids don't want to sit. No human wants to sit on a boring chair, listen to a boring adult, teach a boring lesson about somebody who died 2,000 years ago. How boring is that, right? And we think, oh, but this is spiritual. This is God. And they're going, shoot me. Just shoot me. Right? So these are kids. So we have to make it interactive. You want them to say, I got to do all kinds of things myself. I got to do all kinds of things myself. Or there was a lot to do. Or we laughed so much. Wouldn't it be great to have so much fun that they don't want to leave your classroom? Oh, my goodness. With children's ministry, I say to the team members, I say, when you see kids at the checkout time and their parents are standing in the doorway saying, come on, let's go, and the kids don't want to go, that is a wonderful thing to see, rather than kids just can't wait to leave. So you get that with release time as well. When they're sitting watching their clocks and they want to leave and they're zooming out, that's not a good sign for you. So with the interactive, we need to get the children moving, talking. As teachers, point B, we should set as conductors or guides for the lesson. So we as teachers need to be, you know, an orchestra conductor. I'm not a musician, so I'm probably going to insult musicians here. I'm looking at the musicians who are playing their instruments in this orchestra, and here's this conductor doing this, and I'm saying, seriously, if he fell down and had a stroke, everything would stop. We don't know what to play because this guy's not there. I know I'm insulting musicians. And he's there for inspiration, and he keeps the beat and everything. But seriously, anyway. Yeah, you can write letters to Sally. So, but we are, in a sense, conductors of the environment. So, if you look at yourself as a lecturer, that's not good with children. If you look at yourself as a conductor of activity and you've created an environment, they step into your environment and they explore. Oh, that's wonderful. That's totally different from a lecturer. At college, I serve with lecturers and they're so impressed with their lecturing ability. And I'm sitting there as a children's guy saying, how boring is that? Let me present my paper to you. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, I'm insulting those people too. That's not what we're doing in children's ministry. We have to thrill them. Point B, as teachers, we should be conductors, not talkers of the lesson. Point C, there are three 1D, you know, you know about 3D movies, right? Everything is 3D nowadays. So I took this idea and I connected it to a lesson. A 1D lesson is a lecturer in front, wah, 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 wah. That's 1D, and the kids are, you know, going like this, kill me. 2D, a teacher talking, children talking, or movement. All right, so now I'm letting them chit-chat. That's 2D. 3D is teacher talks, children talk, they move, and they interact with each other. So this is when a teacher throws out the challenge, gives them enough information, and then backs off and let it happen. Oh, my goodness. Regular credential classroom teachers know this concept, but we in ministry may not feel comfortable with this. So I'm going to help you a little bit with that today. Ideally, every class should be a 3D class where they're interacting and talking, and then you finally have to say, okay, we have to quit. And they're going, no, I don't want to quit. So that's the goal. All right, so short. Kids love short. Adults love short. The kids should say, it was over too soon, or I can't wait to go back. We should keep the salt or sit and listen time down to very bare minimum. Experts have suggested that the attention span of children is equal to 1 minute for each year of their age. So think about that. You have nine-year-olds, fourth grade. The nine-year-olds, fourth grade, is that what it is? Something like that. They have 9 minutes where they can sit there and politically correct do this to you. After that, you're going to get explosions. There's physical pain that happens in their bodies when they sit for longer than this. So if you're doing really something great, it's fine. Have you ever taken a child to a movie or a television show? They will sit and watch something longer, but it's because there's stuff happening in their head. So we have to make sure that that we are aware of this physical, mental challenge of attention span. And point B, we should remember the valid saying, time flies when you're having fun. A boring lesson may seem like it lasts for years to a child. A fun lesson goes quickly. Same with us, right? If you remember classes as a student, it's the same thing. We don't change. Sermons, it's the same thing. What other things? Movies. Have you ever gone to a movie and you go, oh, is this thing ever going to be over? So adults are the same way. The children want just right for me. This is what the children expect. They expect something that works. Now, in release time, you have blended ages, right? Is that true? So you could have first grade. Is that as young as you go? Fourth through six, or third through six. All right, great. Okay. So that's pretty close. Those ages are fairly close. But even in the third through six range, there's a lot of different abilities. So nothing younger than third grade. That's nice. So just right for me is still a challenge and a blended thing. You want the child to say, I think they made that lesson just for me, or I liked the whole thing. Children know when something is right for them. They also know when it's too old or too young. The worst thing to do in a class of third through sixth graders is to focus on the third graders. Now, you like this, and the sixth graders are going, man, she is so lame. Focus on the higher level, and the young ones pull up. You focus on the lower level, and the old ones are going away. They can't stand it. So always focus on the younger level of your blend. Point B, we should make sure that the terminology, analogies, applications, object lessons, activities, and stories are all appropriate and interesting. So don't use a story about driving. Oh, you know, you guys, when we drive, when we come to a stop, and they're going, no, I don't know. So try to make the stories and the analogies fit them. Jesus was a master at this. The parable of the sower was a great, he did all these parables in line. At least it appears that way in the scriptures. So the parable of the sower, I picture this. There are men and women in the crowd. How many hundreds? We don't know. But a lot. And I'm sure that there are women who dragged their husbands to hear this master teacher, right? And the men are in the back crowd standing there going, did your wife bring it? It's a waste of time. This guy is nuts. Yeah, she wants to come here all the time. I tell her, forget it. I got things to do. I got farms. I got fields to. And then they hear him talking about birds and rocks and thorns. Now, I picture in the back of the crowd these guys, grumpy guys, leaning on their rakes. You know, this guy doesn't know what he's talking. And then some seeds fell on the rocky soil. What? I got rocks. And some birds came. Those dang birds. Yeah. And then people trampled over him. Yeah. What is that guy talking about? See, Jesus knew farmers were in the audience, and he twisted his spiritual stuff into their world. So you have to be able to do that with kids. Do you know their songs? Do you know the music? Do you know the movies they watch? Do you know the things they say? You cannot expect kids to come from their world into your pristine, holy, little, beautiful, church-based world and have them interested in it. They're not. You have to blend a little bit into their world and tell their stories and listen to them. So that's a huge challenge. Focusing on who they are and making sure that's right for them. All right, so those are the building codes for the children. Building codes the parents create. So you told me in the earlier workshop that you don't really have too much interaction with parents in the release time. In the church world, we do. The parents may not be as connected in release time, but they are still watching, you know, interested and want to know what's going on. So they're releasing their kids to us, whether it's in a trailer or in a classroom here at church. So the parents really have their own building codes. Let's look at some of these. They want a safe environment. I put a picture of a guard there. That really is not too attractive. Of course, this is a full-dressed Marine or Army. Is that Army? It's the guard in front of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. That's Army, right? Yeah. Awesome. This is beautiful. This is strong. This is protective. You know, he has an old gun. I look at these guns and I think, okay, that's a, I'm not sure what that gun is. Does anyone know? Mauser or something. I mean, it's older, right? They don't have an M16 or something. The parents want safety. There are two things that they expect from us, spiritual growth and safety. Which one would they gladly sacrifice for the other? Spiritual growth. You're not going to sacrifice safety. They don't want anything to do with us if their environment, if our environment's not safe. So they want a safe environment. So point B, their child must not be endangered by lesson activities, physical room faults, or ministry procedures. Point C, we should create fun experiences that are that may endanger, or shouldn't create fun experiences that may endanger children. We shouldn't be focused on, or we shouldn't be focused on safe that we sacrifice fun. So you're maybe thinking, okay, I have a lot of creative ideas, but it's kind of dangerous. There's a fine line between fun and unsafe. I'm going to use fire today to show you, man, if you can incorporate fire, oh, kids love it. Now you're sitting there thinking, that's not right. We've been told not to burn things in the trailer, right? So I may get in trouble. I've looked. There aren't any smoke alarms here. I'm going to do it quickly, and Pastor John is not in the room. So he's going to call him. Oh, yeah, thank you. He's checking the fire extinguisher back there. I'm a trained professional. I'm okay. But, yeah, it's nice to have that. So kids love dangerous, and yet we can't put them there. Why do you not see any teeter-totters anymore on school grounds? Because you do see them? Because we've determined the fun factor and the safety factor was too high. Dangerous, it's too dangerous. The fingers pinching, plus there's probably a lawsuit, let's get rid of those. Now, here's the mental thought in a children's person today. Children come in, they're afraid of being sued, so here's the parent, or here's the teacher. Hi, go have a seat, nice to see you. No, don't take that wrong, I'm okay with seeing you. Okay, sit down. How you doing? Oh, I didn't mean that. Oh, my goodness, we are so paranoid that we don't do anything. So parents want safe, but we still have to make it fun. Spiritually stimulating experiences and lessons. You want the kids or the parents to say, I love what they're teaching my child. So that's kind of fun. They want spiritual stuff. So we do a good job with that. But once again, I'm going to show you how to add some spice to your curriculum. So communicate with me. Did I do this wrong? All right. There you go. Okay, so let's deal with communicate with me. Point three there. I trust them with my child, but I don't want to be in the dark about what they do. I'm still the parent. So if parents don't receive adequate communication, they define adequate, parents define adequate, they may remove their children from our influence. So whatever you can send home is very important. We should clearly communicate what we plan to teach with their children, what their children will experience, and how to continue that lesson at home. And point C, we should pull the parents into our specific ministry experiences through invitations, if possible. I don't know whether you can do that release time, but I heard you have open houses type of thing. So that's good. Invite them in. Let them see. Parents like to know what special things are coming up. So make sure that parents are communicated with. All right, page 3. We're going to talk about the four-part lesson. So there are four learning styles, and I'm not going to spend time with them today, but there's a learning style that's called a dynamic learner. No, the first one is, now I'm losing it. The first one, yeah, is dynamic, interactive, da-da-da. Anyway, this, yeah, hi. The first one has to be, you've got to interest me, and that is, it's not common sense, it's not analytic, it's not dynamic. Yeah, something like that. I forgot the name. Anyway, yeah, something, whatever, yeah. That child who says, I am not going to sit here and listen to this unless I'm interested. And some of us are that way as adults. So that learning style is huge. There's an analytic learning style that says, give me data, charts. I love pictures. I want to read the whole thing. There's a common sense learner that says, I want to put my hands in it. I want to make cookies out of this dough that I've created. They have to do something. And then there's the dynamic that says, don't tell me what to think. Show me how it's going to work in my life. And so those four learning styles are now plugged into this four-part lesson. All right, so on page 3 is a little bit of about an objective. Do you guys have objectives in the curriculum that you use? Yes? Okay. So this objective that you have may or may not be a learner-based objective. So a learner-based objective is this example. The learners will demonstrate their understanding of whatever it is, forgiving those people who offend us by making a list of those people who offend me. So you are creating an objective that you're gonna evaluate your success by what they do in class. A lesson-based objective is the teacher will teach the students about Jonah. So what? I could satisfy that objective by teaching in a boring, empty classroom. So this format forces you to think about what are the students going to be doing to prove to me that they get it. All right, so the four parts are, first base is it's an attractive thing to students who are interested in the attraction. Second base is to let the students explore and learn on their own. Third base is to let them personalize and get their fingers into it. And home plate is an application. So that's the four parts. This is intensely child-focused lesson design rather than a teacher-focused. So I'm going to be using the baseball diamond format here. So let's first talk about audio, visual, tactile, and experiential. I'm not going to read through this, but those are modes. Let me ask you first, who is the smartest person in this room? You can point to someone if you want to. Oh, no, you are? Okay, let's ask you. All right, you're good. It's good. All right, so we're going to give you a little test here. Nobody cheat. Nobody tell her. What is your name? Lorelai. Great name. How many external holes do you have in your head, Lorelai? Not pores and not follicles of the hair, but actual holes that you can stick your finger in if you really wanted to. Well, you could, but yeah, you wouldn't want to. Five. All right. She says five. Is that your final answer? Okay, good. All right. Let's see how smart she is. You have the two eyes, right? That's two. Oh, well then, if you add the eyes, seven. That's God's perfect number. That's exactly right. Two eyes, two nose. It's really one hole, but it's two nostrils. That's four, five, six, seven. Very smart. You have seven holes in which to enter the kid's brain with your lesson. Oh. A smart teacher has to get this stuff out of your throbbing head and into the heads of the kids, right? You have seven holes. With a lecture, wah, 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 how many holes are being attacked with the lesson? Two, maybe. They can shut one down. They can shut them both down, right? We know that. So maybe two. If I am lecturing, wah, 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 and I put a picture that applies to the lesson, now how many holes am I attacking? Four, I've doubled it with a visual or holding something up. Now, if when they come in, the room smells something that I am talking about. Ooh, now that takes a creative mind to think of that. How many holes? It could be six if there's something visual. If I'm cooking pancakes when they come in, I do this with my students. Oh my goodness, and this lesson includes this, I'm making pancakes for you. You're going to have kids go crazy. They can't wait till they get to the trailer the next time. What you going to have this time? So I'm cooking pancakes. They smell it. They're looking at it. Six holes instantly. There's one hole missing. How do I get the lesson? And they eat this lesson. And I talk about, what does God's love taste like? Ooh, this is delicious. How many times does Jesus give a lesson that includes all seven holes? Think of a lesson. Sermon on the Mount, the feeding of the 5,000, Peter and the fish on the shore, communion. Oh my goodness, you start to think about this and you realize Jesus was a master teacher. What is the hardest and yet most effective hole to get the lesson into? The mouth. Have you ever tasted something and go, oh, this reminds me of something, right? You can think that with music as well. But if you can get the lesson in the mouth, it's almost 100% guaranteed to stick with that child for a very long time. So audio, visual, tactile, those are some ideas. You need to have as many of these in your lesson as possible. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this, but the audio mode, recorded stories, songs, sound effects, choral readings, debates, these things take work, and they take thought. I'm going to play that same song again. You know, every child knows this song. It's what, a year old, 2 years old, 3 years old? The snow glows white on the mountain tonight. Can you use this song in your lesson? Oh, you should. What is this song that's about? It's about getting rid of the things that hold you down. But it's worldly. Can we use worldly music? Oh, you should. I'm going to get fired. But if you're not using their music to bring Jesus to them, then you're wah, wah, wah. Of course, there are limits. You can't continue to use everything. But here's an example of a song. They picture the movie. They feel it. They know the words. And then you walk into their worlds and use it to tell them about Jesus, and they're back in the back going, oh, she did it. How did I catch this? Here's another audio thing. You play this in the background. It's quiet, soft music. There's little birds chirping. This is going in the background as they're coming in and chit-chatting and everything, and your lesson is about peace. And there's noise and everything, and you tell them, just be quiet for a minute. Just stop talking. Now they hear water and birds. And you've entered them into an environment where they don't go anymore. Quiet is not in their world. They're wired up to everything. So now you talk to them about the peace of the Lord. You have to be still. They will never forget this. And all you've done is taken a cheesy background music, right? So this is audio mode. This is using the ears to change the way they think. Here's another one.
What are you worried about? Just look at those pictures on that website. No one will know.
Have you ever had thoughts?
You need to do this.
You ever had
it's
thoughts?
It's fun. Just do it. God wouldn't care anyway. He doesn't even know. Go on. Do it.
Fourth graders, third graders are into porn. And where are they hearing anything like this? They come to your trailer, they come to your classroom and talk about Jesus. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but they leave going, what does that have to do with me? I can't stop myself looking at porn on my computer or my phone. So here's an example of recording something that might be their thoughts. And you say to them, have you ever had these thoughts? You push a button, and they're back in the back going, how did you know I had these thoughts? So audio mode can be very powerful. All right, let's talk about a couple other things. Visual, I'm way late. I'm going to zoom through. Visual, showing them video clips, object lessons. I'm going to show you some of these things. So make sure you thrill them with their eyes. Tactile mode, are they touching, feeling, moving up? I tell my kids, my students at class, I teach this three-unit class, 150 hours that I'm giving to you in 40 minutes. So if you were to put a camera in the back of your class and just start recording wide, and you're filming your whole lesson, if all you see is this, heads moving, and now you fast forward, and they're doing this, you've failed. You should, when you see your video of your lesson, there should be blurs of kids bumping the camera. I'm sorry, there should be up and moving. I know it's hard to do that in a 10-foot wide space. Eight, thank you. Thank you very much. But that's the challenge of what God has called you to do. Can you get them up and moving in an 8-foot space? You must get them moving. So tactile mode is very important. And then experiential mode. This experiential mode may not happen in your room, but you're giving them challenges to do outside of the class. This shows going and climbing a tree. You can't take your class outside and climb a tree. But still, could you create experiences in the classroom that let them play with some of this? So experiential mode is a challenge. So let's look at first base, building your lesson. First base, capture their attention. So I'm going to show you some examples of lesson capturing things. So you have this lesson. How do you know they're interested in it? You have to, this is not going to be in your curriculum, I can guarantee you. You have to look at your lesson and go, Lord, I have this Bible study, I have this thing I'm doing. How do I get them interested in it? All right, let me show you a couple things. Oh, let me do the strips of paper. Send your little strips of paper to the aisle. Can I walk out further without? Yeah, if you have them written, that's fine. If you didn't do it right yet, that's okay too. All right, strips of paper. These are things that tempt you, right? Anybody else? All right, look at all this temptation. Thank you. Okay, hang on, we'll get to questions. Oh, let me get your temptation because this is great. Oh, fast cars. No, I'm kidding. All right. Okay, so let me show you something. I don't have a table, but let me play with this a little bit. All right. Okay. More temptation. Okay, great. Thank you. Good. Can you see this if I do it here? I'll stay out of the way. All right, this is the world. This is the world. This is you. All right? It's an egg. You're an egg. We are told in Scripture to not be in the world. This world is not our home, and we do not fit in it. But in the world, you have all kinds of temptations. So let's put some of these temptations in here. Criticism, defeat, and faithfulness. Ooh, yeah, that's in there. Ugh. It's hard to get that one in. Travel. Oh, travel is a temptation. Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, you hold that. That's good. Nice. Chocolate. Oh, yeah. It's in there, right? How come when we get old enough to eat whatever we want to, we can't? Hot fudge sundaes. Oh, is your mouth watering? It's in there. Junk food. But I like junk food. We bought a thing of bologna last week. I feel like a kid when I have a bologna sandwich. Television. All right, that's in there. What do we got? Cute guys my age. Very nice. That's true. Ugly ones, not so much. Romance novels. All right. It's in there. We have a friend who writes Christian romance novels. Shopping. I almost read shipping. Yes, I really am tempted by shipping containers. Desserts. Yeah, okay. I'm not going to put them all in there, but there's tons of temptations. Chocolate, Facebook, and ice cream. Ooh, all at the same time. That could be really nice. Ice cream, little sundae, and do Facebook? Right to hell. Food. Food. Okay, that's enough for right now. Thank you very much, Carol. All right, I could put all those in there. There are temptations in the world, right? We are not supposed to be involved with this stuff, although God made chocolate. So, yeah. What happens is the enemy comes, get your fire extinguisher ready, and he says, oh, isn't it beautiful? Just do it. And then we go, okay, I'm doing it. And what happens is we get sucked into it. How can you use this visual object lesson for a lesson? What lesson could this set up? Do you see those kids who say, interest me in something, are on the edge of their seats? What kind of a lesson could this be used for? Yes, Samson, yeah. Yeah, there's a couple of those stories. Joseph ran. Joseph took his little egg out of there. But yeah, Samson, Delilah. What about temptation? Can this egg come out now? And it's in hundreds of pieces. It is trapped, gone, messed up. Yes, Jesus can heal us and everything, but oh my goodness. This is a visual object lesson for a lesson on temptation, resistance, a Bible lesson. Yeah, it's glass bottle. It's manila paper that burns well. It's nice wood matches. You don't use cheesy, sissy little paper matches. You want something that has a nice sound to it. Did you hear it? Oh, that's nice. And good smoke, you know? And inside the trailer, do you have smoke alarms in the trailer? Oh, good. Because kids don't see fire with Bible stuff very often. So when you do this, they're going, oh, I like that. All right, here's another one. I'm hungry, and you can do this anytime. I got some Alpo here. You ever had dog food? Oh, come on. Some of you have. Oh, come on. What, you born in a box? You have to have some dog food. I'm going to open it up for you. I have a fork. You can have some. Can you taste it? Yeah, you can smell it. It smells like dog food. Look at you. You're on first base. You determine whether or not a student's on first base by that face. If they think you're crazy, perfect. Shock them. It's really not. That second bite is better. No, first one. Oh. All right, here's the kicker. Oh, look at you guys are so smart. You think you know everything. So I have taken an Alpo label and glued it too well to a corned beef hash can that tastes just like dog food. So, how can you use this for a lesson? A lesson on what? What is it? Deception, right, maybe. Judgment, yes. That guy is so gay. Oh, let's talk real language here. She's a jerk. She's fat. And God says in his word, this is the story of David being chosen. He's this little boy out, and God even says, don't, you know, I look at the heart. This is weird because this is, I've lied to you. But still, it's a great little lesson on judgment. Here's another one. In the world, you have two kinds of people. There are two kinds of people. And one way to figure out who they are is to let them react to Jesus. Yep. I'm making a mess. Oh, Kleenex, good. So, now, there are two kinds of people, some that react to Jesus and some who don't. The blood of Jesus shows the different kind of people. So in the world, we are shaken up. We're all in the same. But over time, people should figure out who you are. So if you watch this thing over time, it separates, and people should start to see that you're different. How can you use this visual object lesson for a lesson on? Come on, think creative people. Pardon me? Wheat and the tares. Yeah, the wheat and the tares. Great. Consecration. Yeah. Example, witness, let your light so shine. Oh, my goodness, it's rich with stuff. This is, you can use a big glass bottle, but a liter bottle is good. What do you think the liquids are in here? Well, you're so smart. Water and oil, what kind of oil? Olive oil is dark. What's crystal clear, clean, beautiful? Jesus. Yes, very good. Ooh, I know, ooh, choose me. No, vegetable oil is dark. Baby oil. Clear baby oil. Nice, huh? I used to use paint thinner, but it's a caustic. So, all right. So those are some examples of first base. So first base catches them by surprise. You don't talk about it a lot. You just do it. So in your handout, there's a lot of stuff about first base that I'm, for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through. But all of these things are the bam that you can add to your lesson. You ask yourself, how do I get them interested in this thing? What can I do? Second base is content discovery. Here's a challenge for us as teachers. We want to tell them what to think. Oh, if you want to ruin a lesson fast, tell them what to think. You need to attract them. I tell the student, it's like you are a trail guide at a national park. So you have your fancy little hat with a brim, you know. You have gone down the trail of the lesson ahead of them, and now you've come back. You know exactly what they're going to find, and you're going to say to them, go discover. You're letting them discover. You're not telling them. So you let them read this story, and you ask them questions. Well, how many times does Jesus say this? Or what do you think the crowd was doing? Well, they're going, I don't know. Don't tell, let them discover. When you discover something on your own, the retention is like 150% higher. So second base asks them, lets them discover. I'm going to show you a real quick little video of a class. This is a science teacher who is giving lecture, a class on rockets or balloons or whatever. He sets up an environment for them to learn.
And
They love to discover things. So now this happens. Look at the faces. Look at this. You know, can you do this in your trailer? Yes, it just takes some thinking. So that's second base. Third base now. Part two takes planning, or second base takes planning and preparation. Yes, I'm not going to show you this one. This is another movie from a school who had them write their own books. It was kind of interesting. So you have to ask them in second base, what do you want them to learn, what they can discover on their own, what do you need to provide before they begin? All right, third base. Third base, you need to get them up and moving. So here's a little clip. This is typical third base.
Now I can.
They're doing instead of sitting.
They want to ride a two-wheeler for a really long time.
So this is a little Sesame Street thing about riding a bike. And if you think about riding a bike,
it's a little scary, but I know
this is exactly what third base is all about. How many of you learned how to ride a bike by your parents showing you a video on riding a bike? Giving you a lecture, reading a book? No, making you memorize how to ride a bike? No. We learn how to ride a bike by doing it. So what are you letting the students do? And you're there monitoring. This takes work. It's a lot more work than lecture. But if you look at your lesson, you go, okay, where's third base here? What am I doing? There's some ideas here on the page, things you can do that are third base, and I'll leave it for you to look at before. Finally, home plate. We're pretty good at home plate. It's the application. It's the what am I going to challenge them to do as a result of this lesson? How is their life going to be different? So I've read this great Bible story, but so what? And the kids are sitting there saying, so what? You have to take that lesson and put it into their worlds. So a story about Joseph and his brothers obviously is about taking care of your attitudes toward your brothers and sisters, right? So make sure you add home plate to your lesson if it's not already there. In baseball, you can't score a point until you round all the bases. So this four-part lesson challenges you to go around all four bases, and then you score a point. So hopefully you have been challenged to think about, all right, what am I doing visually? How am I going to get the kids interested? How am I going to let them discover on their own? How am I going to let them play with it and ride their bike? How am I going to challenge them specifically to apply this? So it's been a real fast zoom through. I have spent hours on just that first bit. I have other things in here to show you, but I ran out of time. But anyway, hopefully the creator of the universe will help you figure out how to add these four bases and add some BAM to your lesson. All right, let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this time we've had to talk. And Lord, it's so great that you are the creator of the universe. You made polywogs and frogs that grow out of the water. And Lord, you made monkeys that jump from trees. You made flying squirrels. Lord, you can help us to create lessons that thrill and have a life effect on children. So Lord, I pray for these dear people as they're thinking about their lessons this week. Help them to add some of this stuff to it. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, blessings to you. Bye.